RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Hunting Gear Podcast is brought to you by Code Blue Sense and Reveal Trail Cameras. All right, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Hunting Gear Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Johnson. And today we are talking with Drake and Dustin from Athlon Optics. Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Doing well. Looking forward to doing the podcast with you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I myself, just kind of for like a brief description of how I hunt and things like that. I haven't been in the gun game very long. I am an archer. I'm a bow hunter. That's what I enjoy doing. But my knees, as I get older, I need to start realizing that I'm not going to be able to do the bow hunting adventures that I think that I'm going to do. And so firearms are now starting to be part of the equation in my life, or at least in my future. And I've been talking to the guys at Missouri Woods and Water, and they're doing some pretty cool things with thermal optics, which is why you guys are here today. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But I think we should start off by introducing yourself and letting everybody know what you do at Athlon Optics. Drake, why don't you kick it off?
So I'm Drake Adams. I've been with Athlon for going on 8 years. I am a regional sales manager for the company. I cover everything pretty much in the center part of the United States, and then from Missouri, Kansas out to the west part. So I'm out to California and help a little bit with Dustin with the marketing side a little bit, and just trying to get that product placement out there. So,
gotcha. And Dustin, what's your role?
Yeah, guys. So I'm Dustin Hardy. Technically, I'm the senior marketing manager, but here for the last year, 2 years, I've been more on the project management side, product development. We're looking at thermals today, and one of the things that I had a big hand in would be our ballistics app, powering not just our thermal devices, but also our day optics as well. So a pretty universal inclusive app there. It's a light version at the moment. There are a few things that we want to expand on before we release a full version. But I think, you know, for the hunter, I do a lot of competition shooting. The app really is pretty versatile overall. So something to kind of keep in mind as we go. You know, one thing that you mentioned when you were talking about, you know, your knee is giving out and you're moving from bow hunting to rifle hunting. And obviously, we've got two completely different methods. For me, the appeal of thermal optics is my season changes. The fall is a really busy time for me. It is very hard to get out and go do any whitetail hunting. And now, you know, January comes. And for Kansas, we've got a limited season of 3 months. But this gives me a whole other opportunity to get out in the field, make memories, and share some good times with some friends. And
yeah, absolutely.
It's a whole different method in and of itself. You know, things that I do thermal hunting, I would not be doing whitetail hunting.
Right. Right.
You can get away with a lot more movement. It's pretty cool. So
yeah,
with you changing methods, this is a whole different thing altogether.
Absolutely. Okay. So both of you guys are kind of involved in the marketing and the products and stuff like that. How old is Athlon Optics? How many years have you guys been in business?
This is our 10th year. This is our 10th anniversary year. So.
Oh, nice. Okay. So not completely new, but not like a cornerstone company quite yet.
Right.
So right in the middle, what have you guys learned about optics kind of in this 10-year period so far and what people are looking for in optics?
Yeah, you know, it's something that from day one, we've really taken to heart, and that's listening to the consumer. And there's definitely been a significant difference in trends. You know, when we first came to market, what we were known for was affordable long range. Got $1,000 and you want a gun, a scope, ammo, and you want to shoot 1,000 yards. And we were one of the first companies to really prove that you could do that. And as the years have kind of progressed, you know, especially out west, we see an uptick in the same principles of that affordable long range, you know, first focal plane, good glass, affordable price points. We're seeing that start to shift to the Western hunter as well. A lot of those guys are looking for very similar optics and rifle setups, albeit in the lower weight category. But when we first started, hunting was predominantly a second focal plane kind of optic. So I'm seeing
what do you mean by that?
Well, I'm sorry, what was that?
Yeah, what do you mean by a second optical plane?
Yeah, so, and honestly, a lot of it comes down to just what consumers are familiar with. Your traditional hunter, they're using rifle scopes that when you zoom in and zoom out, your target image gets larger or smaller, but the reticle never changes sizes. And with long-range shooters, they want a target image that's going to increase in magnification as well as your reticle simultaneously. So everything stays within scale of each other. And there's pros and cons to both. You know, as you zoom in and zoom out on a first focal plane, that reticle getting larger and smaller, the information that you can read off of that reticle gets harder at lower magnifications.
Mm-hmm.
Where on a second focal plane scope, the reticle remains the same size regardless of the magnification. So what you see is never going to change on that reticle. The downside is as you start shooting further, that information on the reticle is only going to be accurate on a second focal plane at one magnification, which, you know, if you're in a hurry and you want to get on target, you don't want to have to think about, okay, I've got a 4 to 20 power scope and I need to have my reticle on 16 power on a second focal plane to get that validity to line up, you know, to make sure that scaling is all accurate and true. First focal plane, it doesn't matter. If your reticle says, you know, 5 or 10 MOA, you zoom in, you zoom out, it's still 5 or 10 MOA.
Yeah. Okay. So it just seems like the design is ease of use, right? Less adjustments, more in one little twist than multiple little twists.
Yep.
Okay, cool.
And then even the reticle design, you know, on that lower magnification, you know, let's say it's a 4.5 power. How can you make a small reticle usable if you're on low magnification? Typically, you're taking shorter shots. So at that point, right, you're kind of just using your reticle as you would at any other point. You're using the center of it to address your target. You're not really, you don't need the whole remark shit. You don't need any of that other information. So when we design our reticles, a lot of it's reflected that way as well, you know.
Okay.
Are you going to be able to use that reticle at low magnification as well as high magnification, whether it's a first focal or a second focal? But so that's kind of been my exposure to the changes in the market. What about you?
Yeah, just seeing now, you know, going back to the first versus second focal plane, there's pros and cons to both. But seeing that shift to first focal plane, even for the Western hunters, things like that, that's a big thing right now. The lightweight first focal plane stuff, trying to get that longer range Western hunter. That's been a pretty big focus also in the market right now for optics as well.
I'm curious with the rise, the cost, everything in order to get from your house to where you're hunting, especially if you're traveling from the East Coast to trying to get somewhere west, the increase of tags, the increase of gas, the increase of lodging, everything has gone up. Do you think that will reflect in gun hunters and how much money they're going to spend on their rifle system and optic?
Absolutely. And that's kind of the focus of the brand in general. When the company was built, it was very much built on a value-based system. Value meaning you're getting more for your money, not necessarily inexpensive, but you're getting the most for your dollar. You don't carry your dollar the furthest. And it's still reflected in our products today. We try to have the best product on the market for the best price point. And, you know, we know that the cost of everything has gone up over the last, you know, 10 years especially, but we try to combat that a little bit and have some consumer savings that way. So
gotcha.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. You know, cost of everything going up, how does it affect people hunting? Even outside of cost, I think there's other things in the hunting industry. We've had a pretty good growth spurt of hunters across the United States in general. I was looking this morning at the Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks. In 2019, the number of applicants for a whitetail draw, you know, out-of-staters, the rejected number was 620. As of this year, 2024, last year, there was over 10,000 people rejected on that draw.
Yep.
So you have, yes, a cost limitation, which is where Athlon comes in. You know, we're going to be that premium quality you're looking for at that affordable price point. But just getting out hunting is another conversation, I think, as to how hunters are being affected right now. Within your state, for Kansas, it's still pretty easy to go, you know, get a tag and shoot a whitetail. We're very fortunate here. If you're trying to come from out of state, that gets a little tougher. You know, you're investing a lot of time, a lot of money, applying for preference points, trying to get into other states. The seasons are limited. You're looking for more opportunities, and in an area where opportunities are limited and not necessarily growing.
Yep. All right. 10 years as a company. How long ago was it when you guys started the thermal, like to introduce or have the conversation to introduce thermal optics?
we started that conversation probably 2021 timeframe, 2020, 2021, and started getting, you know, the idea rolling and what did we want to see and what did we want to start with, and what kind of optics are the most popular, what kind of optics, you know, there's a lot of different variances in sensor size, you know, that sensor size versus cost, you know, it can range pretty largely. So
yeah.
You've got a huge variety there. What did we want to start with in the market? Did we want to start on the low end? Do we want to start on the high end, in the middle? And we started kind of playing with different optics and looking at different things and seeing, okay, what's most user friendly in the field? What makes the most sense for our consumer right now, right? What can we bring out that's value based? And so we started that conversation probably 2021.
Okay. And so what is thermal, right? Okay. So if I look through a regular scope, a day scope, like you guys have mentioned, and there's what I see. How does thermal or night vision or, I don't know, are there different terms used for all of those specific things? And do the optics that you guys offer have adjustments to where you can go from night vision to thermal or things like that? So basically what I'm asking for is, what is thermal optics? What is thermal imaging?
Yeah, so I think the easiest place to start here is you're looking through your day scope. You're looking at a visible light spectrum, things that with or without the scope you can see with your naked eye, right? So that's a visible light spectrum. And then when you start looking into night vision, night vision is going to be a near infrared kind of signature, right? It's still light based. You have a lot of times on night vision, you're going to have a supplemental light. It's IR, infrared designator of some sort. It looks like a flashlight, but you can't actually see anything. But that's going to illuminate your target and reflect that back into a sensor that can take that infrared signature and view that in a visible spectrum. When you get into actual thermals, again, you're looking into things that are not visible with your naked eye. And thermals are going to take what it's seeing and view temperature differences across this whole plane of invisible wavelengths, right? So how sensitive is that thermal? That's going to be your NETD ratings.
So I'm sorry to interrupt, but for the lame person like myself, I don't know nothing. What is that, like how much heat is being produced by a specific thing out there that lets you put your gun up and read it, or is it difference in temperature?
Yeah, so that NETD rating is going to be a difference in temperature. So the lower the rating, the more details you're going to be able to see. Where on night vision, if you want to see more details, you need more infrared light.
Gotcha.
Again, that's an invisible to your eye wavelength, but you still need on night vision some type of illumination. Even if you can't see it, the optic can. On thermal, that's not an issue. You don't need to worry about on thermal, do you have enough moonlight? Do you have some kind of an IR illuminator, whether that's a laser or a flashlight or something? So that's really kind of the big difference. With thermal, everything being heat-based, you're not limited by how far does your flashlight throw a beam. You're not limited by what's the moon look like tonight. Mm-hmm. So pros and cons to both, as there is with everything. But your thermal is going to be a pretty foolproof way of getting into night hunting.
Gotcha. Okay. And so let's say it is, I don't even know what the body temperature of a hog is, right? I'm just going to say it's a human. It's 98.6 degrees, but it's also hot in the south. and it's 98.6 degrees air temperature, and you know, things around it are similar, you know, to the feel, maybe 90 degrees as well. How does that work to the, you know, the living animal and the trees and rocks around it? How does that work so that that hog stands out in that environment?
That's where the NETD rating really starts to kick in, right? If we're able to see a 0.04 degree Fahrenheit difference in temperature, as these thermals, you'll notice that most of them are going to have some way of calibrating. It'll have a countdown and a refresh or something to that effect. That's taking basically the entire image and saying, okay, here's our baseline. And that's going to give you all those little differences that you're looking for. So great example, that hog. You know, I was out in Texas a year or two ago. It was 90 to 100 degrees, and hog steps out. I could see not only the texture of his, of the hair on his body, but I could see exactly where mud was caked on, which side of him he had been laying on in the dirt as he's walking across this dirt path, right?
Interesting.
And, you know, the temperature difference is so minuscule, so minute, that once that baseline is calibrated, that low NETD rating that we have is going to provide all those details regardless of what your ambient temperature is. If it's 110 or if it's negative 10, you're still going to see all those little variances due to those low NETD ratings.
Gotcha. Now, is this something that the person has to calibrate on their own based off of a book, or is this all done automatically?
Does it automatically.
Oh, well, that's a huge benefit, right? You don't need to do anything.
You're getting to see, you know, the inner workings of a thermal when you're asking these questions.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's great. As far as, you know, thermal optics are concerned, do you guys have to have, based off of different types of day, like right at last light, or do you have to wait until it is completely dark to use your optic?
No, you can use a thermal at high noon, and because it's all heat-based, you're still going to, it's not like night vision. Night vision, it would be a different scenario, but with thermal, you can use that any time of the day with any ambient light or with no light at all, because it's all heat based.
Gotcha. Okay. Do you guys offer an optic that you can switch back between thermal to night to day?
No, there are a few of them on the market.
Yeah.
But we don't have anything right now that does day and thermal, because you can use it anytime. The use for it is not absolutely necessary. And most of the time, I mean, 99% of the guys that are using that optic are going to have a dedicated thermal, dedicated night scenario, a night setup.
Gotcha. Okay. So, okay, when it comes to then your demographic for thermal optics, who are the people buying these scopes so far?
It's kind of broken out into two categories for us. You've got the hog hunters, and with the hog hunters, you're looking at a little bit of a different optic in general. You want a higher field of view, lower base mag. You know, the sensor size is going to vary just on each category based on how clear does a person want to see the image, right? How much money do they want to spend, essentially? But that being said, like, you've got the hog guys and then you've got the coyote hunters, you know, and you can use both optics for either scenario, but in general, the hog hunters are looking for a lower base mag, higher field of view. And then your guys up north that are shooting, because most of their shots with the hog hunters are under 100 yards. They get definitely under 150 most of the time. They get into a sounder of pigs, and they want to see where that sounder is spreading out and where they are going. Whereas a coyote hunter is really, they're calling one or two or three coyotes, and they're really kind of focused on that one heat signature. So they're looking for a little bit higher base mag generally, and not necessarily as concerned about the field of view.
Gotcha. As far as, so you're saying that the sensor size, because I used to be in photography, and they say the bigger the sensor, the better quality of imagery you're going to get. And so that plays into what you're saying as well.
Largely, yeah. So currently, like right now in our lineup, we have three sizes of sensors. We have the 256, we have the 400, and then we've got the 640. And so with those three sensor sizes, the 640 is going to be your top of the line. That's going to give you the best image quality that there is available.
Okay. And so a majority of the customers for Thermal Optics are going to be your the species that you can only hunt at night. Like I'm guessing like varmints, predators, you know, hogs, things like that, obviously.
Yeah. And it varies a lot by state.
Yeah.
A lot. So.
Yeah. Yeah. What about like just dudes who love to shoot long distance or dudes who love to shoot? I mean, do you guys have a little demographic there of people who, you know, they do their shooting in the day, but now they want to take it to the next level and do the same thing, but at night?
Absolutely. Yeah. There are guys that don't hunt hogs or coyotes or anything, and they call us and they say, hey, what would you recommend? Yeah. Okay. And my first question to them is always, what are you looking to do with it? And it throws me off guard still when they're like, when some guys are like, yeah, I'm looking to take it to the range. Okay. You know, that like, cause for me, I'm a coyote hunter. You know, I loathe going to the range cause I got to check my zero. It's like, that, you know, that process. And right. For me, I'd rather be in the field calling a coyote if I'm going to have my gun in my hand, you know?
Right.
But that demographic of people absolutely is there. And generally, you see them start to get into those hobbies after they own a thermal. Most people start because they're just fascinated by the idea of the thermal. They mm-hmm. think it's super cool.
It's like seeing a second world, you know?
Yeah.
Right. I
mean, when you go out at night, you're not used to being able to see anything.
Yeah.
And it's a whole other view of your own property. You know, you got these farmers that just want to see what's going on with their cattle. Why are the cattle spooked right now? Maybe they have no intention of shooting anything, but they want to do a health check. They want to see what's going on. Not with drink. Like a lot of these guys that get their toes wet, they end up expanding and going into more and more. I don't know if you remember, but when we first brought out thermals, we had the one guy that couldn't shoot during the day for health reasons.
Oh yeah.
And he started shooting thermals at night. That was his way of getting to the range since he couldn't do it during the day. Yeah. Shoot thermals at night.
Well, I watched a documentary a long time ago about these set of twins that were allergic to sunlight. And so or their skin burnt really, really easy. They had something wrong with their pigmentation. And so they were only allowed to go out at night. Maybe. Yes. Yeah. Maybe they had something like that going on. Okay. Cool, man. There's a little bit different technology from a regular day scope than there is into a thermal, you know, as far as electronics and stuff like that. What type of environment can and cannot, like pouring down rain, wet? I mean, are these optics waterproof? Are they weatherproof? Like, break that down for us.
Yeah, the thermals, they're absolutely weatherproof. In most scenarios that you would be hunting in, you can use the thermal pretty well. Where it does see a downfall is high humidity, foggy scenario, or foggy environment, or heavy, heavy rain or snow. You'll start to see that image because you're picking up so much stuff between you and the heat signature. You know, you'll start to see your heat signature, your detection range is what we call it. Your detection range will start to get shorter and shorter and shorter depending on how thick that humidity is.
Gotcha. It's the same thing with day optics. We refer to that as mirage. You know, mirage is nothing more than that humidity that you're seeing in the air and how it's affecting light transmission in general. You know, you see it waving across the field, things like that. You don't really see that effect at night in a thermal, but you still see an effect from the same components, same atmospheric.
Now, is this a battery-powered device?
This time of year, everyone talks about going dry. But at Athletic Brewing Company, we're skipping that because we prefer going athletic, which isn't dry at all. From crisp Goldens to hoppy IPAs and limited releases in between, you'll find something that fits your style. Every single non-alcoholic brew is packed with flavor and the same craft experience you love. So yeah, you could call it dry, but there's really nothing dry about it. Find your new favorite near beer at athleticbrewing.com. Athletic Brewing Company, fit for all times.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
Yeah, the thermals, all of the thermals are all digital. Like on a rifle scope style, we've got an internal battery, which is an 18650 battery. And then you're looking at a digital screen inside of the eyepiece, essentially.
Okay. And then how long is battery life? How often do you recommend changing the batteries?
Yeah, so the scope comes with the internal battery, and then it comes with two auxiliary batteries that go inside of a cap on the, essentially on your, what would be your windage turret on a day optic. That battery cap comes off, you put your battery in there. And it runs off of your auxiliary battery first. And then once that battery dies, then it starts to run on your internal battery. But the ability of changing your battery in the field, it automatically switches over to your internal battery to run off of your internal battery. So your scope doesn't die. So if your auxiliary battery dies, it automatically runs into your internal. So you can switch that battery out without the scope turning off.
I don't know if you've had it happen, but I've been in the field. I've pulled out the auxiliary battery, and a coyote comes running in.
Oh yeah!
I'll just set it down, take the shot after the action's done. Then I'll go back and finish putting my new battery back in.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Set it up in a way that it's not going to affect your hunt. You're not going to miss an opportunity as long as you pay attention to that auxiliary battery. You always have that backup.
Yeah. And does it say on the screen where your battery levels are at?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it shows both. It's got two indicators, one for your internal, one for your auxiliary battery. And total runtime is roughly 10 hours, depending on your 10 hours max, depending on your atmosphere. If it's really cold, your batteries will drain a little bit quicker. But I mean, I've hunted all night with all three batteries and never had a problem in super cold conditions.
Okay. And now, and then on the scope itself, is there like an on off switch or is it automatic?
Yeah. So there's four buttons total on the scope. So on the eyepiece on the top, you've got your power button. And then in front of your power button, you have your record button. You can hold that to record a video or you can press it to take a still image. And then on the top, where you're on a day optic, where your elevation turret would be, that's going to be your menu. So you can hold that down. That'll get you to your menu. And then you use that dial to scroll. And then on the left side, which would be like where your parallax adjustment would be on a day optic, that's going to be your magnification. And then on some of our models now, we have a laser rangefinder built in with built-in ballistics. So the outside of that is a button. You press that button in, and that's how you activate your laser rangefinder.
Wow. That's a ton of technology in something like that.
Yeah.
I think of something like that, and then I automatically am, I'm thinking about how it must be complicated, right? It must be complicated because all the things. What's the learning curve for something like this in order to get it out of the box, put it on your gun, and then become efficient with it?
Alice, go ahead.
No, you're right. You know, the development side of it is complicated, but the consumer side, We've really ironed that out to make that as easy as possible. The scopes even have a built-in one-shot zeroing feature within one bullet, and I usually shoot a second one to confirm. But you can fire, miss your target, use the one-shot zero, be zero, and you're ready for that next night in the field. The technology, yeah, it's complicated. It takes a long time to develop and work through, but part of that development process is how do you make this as easy for the consumer as possible? You know, my dad is not a hunter. He barely knows which end of the scope to look through. He can get behind a thermal and use it no problem. That's really kind of the key for Athlon, you know, whether it's our new chronograph or our thermals, as our whole technology division grows, making it as easy for the consumer as possible is first and foremost one of our main priorities there, right alongside, you know, our price point and performance. So,
gotcha. Is there any
intimidate anyone?
Yeah. Is there any tips as far as maintenance that or special maintenance features that you have to do, like before you take the gun out or, you know, after you put it back in its case that need to be known?
No, just make sure your batteries are charged.
That's it.
All right.
If you forget to charge your battery, if you've got a power bank with a USB-C cable, you can power it externally as well. So lots of redundancies, lots of options to make sure that if you had a pop-up hunt come out of nowhere, you just want to roll out, you've got a way to go.
So. Yeah. Yeah, man, that's awesome. You guys are kind of making me want to buy a thermal optic now.
It's like so much fun.
Dude, it's addicting. I can believe it. But I feel like if I buy a thermal scope, then I'm gonna get less sleep than I already do.
Without a doubt. I'm gonna tell on myself. When we were developing these, my wife was pregnant with our second son, and he was born on March 13th. In Missouri, thermal season ends on the 31st of March, and we had just gotten some samples in. We brought him home on the 15th, and I think it was either that night or the second night. I asked my wife, I was like, hey, I've got like 14 days left of season. Can I go test these samples out? And she looked at me, and she was like, are you serious right now? You got to be joking.
Yeah.
You guys are going to sleep. I was like,
yeah.
You got to learn how to ask that question.
Yeah, that was. Hey, it was my bad. Because it was our second one, she was good. She knew all this stuff, and I could be gone for a couple hours, and that was wrong.
That's when you blame it on Dustin, and you'd be like, "Hey, I just got a call from Dustin. He wants me to get these samples tested. You know, I got to get it done before the end. You know, before tomorrow." So,
yeah.
Now. Why, I want to ask the question, why? Why do you think there has been such an increase in popularity with thermal optics?
Because it's so much fun. Absolutely. It's so intriguing. It opens up an entire new season for, just like Dustin said, you know, if you don't have time to hunt whitetails during the fall, if that's your busy season, or just in general, if you just want to continue to hunt after that traditional hunting season is over in November, December, you know, it extends by a couple of months. You can go do that. And in this part of the country and a lot of parts, you know, you can hunt coyotes with thermal year round. And then in like Texas and Oklahoma, obviously with the pigs, any way to eradicate those, it is best, you know, they want to just wipe them out as many as possible because they just get so out of hand so fast. This is a great way to keep up with that problem.
Yeah.
I think part of it is just kind of how society has shifted. You know, everybody has to be entertained every second in about 20 second intervals. Yep. Anything more, you get a little bored, right? I think that's a lot of it. Like you said, in Kansas, between whitetail and turkey season, what do you do?
Yeah.
I guess I can go restring some fishing reels or something, but
yeah.
No, this gives me a whole other opportunity to just stay outdoors and keep doing the things I love. So,
yeah. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. Now, there are a group of people out there, you know, the internet has all kinds of people, right? Some people are just, I don't know, armchair captains and they're keyboard warriors and saying bad things about every single thing, right? And so there's I've seen in the past where people were like, why do we need thermal optics for hunting? All it's going to do is take some guy and this big old buck's going to be in the field while he's coyote hunting, and he's going to shoot that because it's right in front of him, he's tempted. And their answer to that is, you know, take away thermal optics, we don't need them for hunting. What is your guys's response to something like that?
Yeah, that's a tough one. Every conservation department has its own internal struggle with, do you allow it or do you not? And at the end of the day, me personally, poaching is already illegal. It doesn't matter whether you outlaw the tool or not. If somebody wants to do it, they're going to do it. You know, so suppressors, they're on the NFA list. You got to go through Form 4 and pay a tax stamp. But why? Is it because they were worried about folks poaching back during the Depression? I don't know. But does it really eliminate anything by making it illegal? No, it's already illegal. So at the end of the day, I suppose that it can be revenue for the conservation department to help rehabilitate other species. So there is a way for them to collect a little more funds that they may not have had an opportunity to do otherwise.
Yeah. I think the answer to this question is don't be a poacher. I mean, it's pretty simple, right? It's a pretty simple. I mean, dude, there's parts of the country where coyotes, wolves, hogs, obviously these are all not just animals, but they're nuisance animals as well. And so, I mean, one of the most overpopulated animals in North America is the raccoon. So, I mean, I could definitely see, depending on, I would have to look into rules and regulations first, but like, dude, go out and shoot some raccoons at night with thermal optics. Seems like something that that could be really fun. So, yeah. I don't know.
Any nest raiding predator in general. And each state, I was just getting there, like each state has their own set of regs, regulations for anything other than a coyote. You know, each state's different. So,
right. All right. Man, lots of good information in this conversation here. Let's say a guy listens to this and he starts to get intrigued about thermal optics and he needs a reason. He just needs a little nudge to make that purchase and get one on his gun. Why should someone pick up a thermal optic from Athlon?
Well, just like the first time you went out and shot a gun, as soon as you pull that trigger, you're hooked, right? It was kind of the same thing for thermal hunting for me. The first time I went out and saw, you know, the same fields I've hunted during the day, but in a whole new way. And, you know, it's incredible how much life is moving around at night that you just, you take for granted.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that was a big reason for embracing this and taking it up on a personal level. But why Athlon? You know, if I told you at minimum, you're going to spend $700 on a thermal optic for your rifle, that's a big, big chunk for a lot of folks, $700. And of course you can go up from there. But at the end of the day, it's that price versus performance. What you're getting for $700 from Athlon is going to perform much, much better than optics outside that price point. You know, you go spend $1,000, you're not going to see as good of a picture quality. You're not going to have as well of designed apps to back those up and support those. And of course, you know, Athlon's always been known for its customer service and warranty. When you look at the thermal market, there is a lot of direct from China. If it breaks, how do you get it fixed? It's kind of a big headache. You know, when we were coming to market, we talked to a lot of dealers. What is your complaint with your suppliers right now for thermal? Can't get a hold of anyone. I've got a customer, they've had a broken scope for 6 months. These are all the horror stories that our dealers were giving us with other manufacturers, distributors, direct from China, things like that. We've always done customer service very well. We've always taken care of our customers, stood behind our products. And this was a big opportunity for Athlon to take what we know on that customer service side and apply it to thermals and kind of redefine that experience. You know, if you buy a thermal from Athlon, there is no question who is going to answer the phone. There is no question how is it going to be repaired and how long is it going to take? We're very easy to get hold of. To me, those one of the driving factors along with that price point.
Gotcha. Okay. And so I'm going to do kind of a quick rapid fire questions. It's for some of those you just skimmed over in your last little comments there. But you guys have dealers, right? You're not direct to consumer?
Correct.
All right. So where can people find your optics?
We're in most of the major online retailers. We've got over, I don't know, I think it's got to be over 3,000 brick and mortar stores here in the United States now. Gotcha. I don't know the exact number anymore, but large retailers that you know we would shout out here would be, one would be Euro-Optic or Midway. Midway's fairly local to us. They get shipments pretty quickly. You know, so those two are large for online dealers. And then check your local stores also. You know, whoever you would buy Day Optics from can generally get Athlon Optics as well.
Gotcha. Absolutely. Okay. Cool. Price point. You know, based off of the sensors that you guys depends on the cost of the product there. What are your price points for these thermal
optics? So like our entry level line is our 25P. It's a 256 sensor, and it's a weapon mounted system that has a QD mount on it. You can pick that up for $700 retail. And then from there, we have a total of 12 thermal optics.
Okay.
Now, and they range from that $700 price point up to about $4,500 retail.
And that's the big dog, right? That's the tricked out bells and whistles, everything.
Yeah, that's got your laser rangefinder, your ballistic calculator. It's a 640 sensor, absolutely. In the rifle scope style, we have four models. We have a 35mm 400 sensor, and that comes with a laser rangefinder or without, so there's two there, and then a 50mm 640 sensor with a laser rangefinder and without, so there's the other two.
Gotcha.
And those range from $2,700 to $4,500, depending on the model.
Gotcha. So really, in order to get it, like into the thermal game here, you can spend anywhere from $700 to $4,500.
Absolutely.
Cool. All right. Break your warranty down for us. I get it. I break it, or it's broken, or something happens. It's not working correctly. How do I get that problem solved?
Go ahead.
Yeah. So warranty for us, we're going to offer a 5-year warranty on thermals. Our daytime optics are lifetime. Thermals are a little different story. There's a lot of technology, and technology is always changing. So right now we're at a 5-year warranty. But basically, if you had an issue with it, you can give us a call. We'll walk you through the same process. You just go to our website, click lifetime warranty. There's a form that lets us know whose optic it is, what issue they're experiencing. You complete that form, print it off, put it in the box, mail it to us, and we'll give you a call back and let you know what the estimated turnaround time is for that. Our daytime optics, typically, if we receive them on a Monday, we can have them out the door on a Friday. It's really quick and easy. With thermals, because there are so many variances in components and, you know, processors, microchips, sensors, all this, we do like to follow up with folks on that. But it can range anywhere from a couple of days to, you know, 2 to 4 weeks.
Gotcha.
Just kind of depends on those components and how in depth of a repair would be needed, right?
Gotcha.
But compared to other manufacturers and their warranty turnaround times, paired with our 5-year warranty, we're still what you'd consider an industry leading competitor as far as that goes.
Gotcha. Okay. I have a question about, because it is a piece of technology, do you ever have to plug it into a computer in order to run like a firmware update or anything like that?
No, all it's done through the app.
Okay. All right, cool.
So if you have a cell phone, you have a thermal, you have everything you need.
And then the videos that you record with that can be uploaded directly to the app, and then you can distribute that however you want it.
Yeah, so you can pair it to the app. And as you're hunting, I've got my phone here and I'm looking at my target or whatever I'm looking through the scope. You can still see on the phone also.
Okay, so almost like a live stream type deal.
Yeah, yeah, basically. And then you can record through the phone or you can record through the scope.
Oh, nice. Okay, awesome.
Where that comes in handy is like my kids, like they'll go with me sometimes and I'll give them the phone and say, hey, you can see what I'm seeing. You know, if they don't have a scanner or something, they love that. They love watching that.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I used a thermal for that same reason, you'd be up a live view. Took a new shooter out to the range. They didn't understand how to read a reticle, how to hold over, but they really wanted to shoot a mile. Yeah. I didn't want to burn through a bunch of ammo, so pulled out the thermal rifle. Okay, when I say you're going to hold 5 mils, here's what that looks like on the scope. So they're able to see a live view of what I'm doing. And then we went to, you know, my ELR rifle, and they had such a good understanding of it. I was able to call a wind hold and an elevation hold and let them take their first shot. So
it's almost like for educational purposes too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's awesome. Okay. Last one is, manufacturing. Where is this, United States or is this offshore manufactured?
So it is offshore. Currently our manufacturing partner is China. That being said, it will be moving. And that's going to be really typical in the thermal industry in general. A lot of your sensors and things are produced overseas. So,
yeah. Okay, cool. Any final thoughts before we shut her down here today?
No, we kind of covered everything pretty well. And like your question about where is it manufactured, the big difference is what happens after you buy it, you know? That's really the big differentiating factor on a lot of it.
Yeah.
Just making sure that you have a piece of equipment you can trust and that it's going to be stood behind.
Yeah. Well, I'll say this about USA versus China. As far as manufacturing is concerned, yes, from a patriot standpoint, like, oh, we would all love it if all things were made in the United States. That's great,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And there was a time where I truly believed that if it was made in China, good chance the quality was not there. However, I believe
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
That has been, those problems have more than likely been fixed because the end user just won't buy those products anymore. If, you know, if your product is junk, your brand is junk. And so a lot of these companies have realized that the quality has to be there in order for their brand to be successful, no matter where they're, where it's manufactured. So I've seen big improvements in that. So it's not a determining factor in my opinion anymore. So gentlemen, if people want to find out more information about your guys' optics and the thermals and your brand in general, where should we send them?
Yeah, check out athlonoptics.com. And if they want to talk to somebody on the phone, tell them to give us a call on our customer service line. Somebody will pick them up. If nobody picks them up, then we'll give them a call back.
Perfect. Perfect. All right, gentlemen, thank you very much. And thanks for coming on.
Thank you, guys.
Take care.
How many discounts does USAA auto insurance offer? Too many to say here. Multi-vehicle discount, safe driver discount, new vehicle discount, storage discount, legacy.
How many discounts will you stack up? Tap the banner or visit USAA.com/auto discounts. Restrictions apply.
Eczema is unpredictable, but you can flare less with Ebglyss, a once-monthly treatment for moderate to severe eczema. After an initial 4 month or longer dosing phase, about 4 in 10 people taking Ebglyss achieved itch relief and clear or almost clear skin at 16 weeks. And most of those people maintained skin that's still more clear at 1 year with monthly dosing.
Ebglyss, lebrikizumab, LBKZ, a 250 milligram per 2 milliliter injection is a prescription medicine used to treat adults and children 12 years of age and older who weigh at least 88 pounds or 40 kilograms with moderate to severe eczema, also called atopic dermatitis, that is not well controlled with prescription therapies used on the skin or topicals, or who cannot use topical therapies. Ebglyss can be used with or without topical corticosteroids. Don't use if you're allergic to Ebglyss. Allergic reactions can occur that can be severe. Eye problems can occur. Tell your doctor if you have new or worsening eye problems. You should not receive a live vaccine when treated with Ebglyss. Before starting Ebglyss, tell your doctor if you have a parasitic infection.
Ask your doctor about Ebglyss and visit ebglyss.lilly.com or call 1-800-LILY-RX or 1-800-545-5979.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.